Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I am your host this morning, Pastor Bridget Smith. Just call me Minister Bridget. And I am so happy to be joined by my co-host this morning, Mother Valerie. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you today?
Good morning, Pastor.
I'm good.
It is a beautiful day. It is a beautiful
it's
day.
It's always a beautiful
so
day.
Thankful and grateful and blessed that God has given me another day. I ask for your prayers for my granddaughter. She was in a car accident day before yesterday. Praise the Lord. No injuries whatsoever, just some aches and pains and possibly a little bit of whiplash. But overall, she's good, and I'm grateful. I understand you don't have to be old to leave this world, and we have to every day pray for our children. Pray for our grandchildren. Pray for those extended children that God has put into your life. We have to make sure we lift each other up and not tear each other down, because the world is not the nicest place. And our children are going through. Now understand, many are out of school already for the summer. Many are out of school for life. Many are out of school. College is kicking it, but we have to ask God to put a shield of protection around them. We all know violence goes up when the heat goes up, and that is not just Minister Bridget talking it. It's Minister Bridget, who was a professional in law enforcement, who just happened to be the one that did the crime statistics monthly for my county. So I tell you, we have got praying to do. We've got lifting up to do. We've got trusting in God always. But we are nothing without God. We can do nothing without God. And we have to lift up daily Jesus. And today what God gave me was, the word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust him. And, you know, as we're in the book of John, we understand that John says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And we know that Jesus is the word. And when we go into our Old Testament, we find many times that term, the word. Because as we go forth in that scripture, which we will get to this morning, in the book of 2 Samuel, it says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? Wow. And Jesus has said that he is the Lord, right? But we know that our Lord God is our Father. Is his son, and he is the word. He is the word. He is always. He is, what did he say? I am the truth. I am the life. He is the word. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is our absolute, the truth and the life. Jesus is our absolute. We do not get to Father God except for through his son, Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus, today is a good day to get to know him, because he's always been there. And we have to trust God. Trust God in everything. You know, when your lawnmowers go out and your grass is up to your knees, then you cut it and your lawnmower goes out again. I'm trusting God. hallelujah, for the fix, that all things are well and that it's not broken. You know, we got to pray, we got to pray, we got to pray. Before you do anything,
Amen.
Pray. Before
Amen.
You mow the grass, pray. Before you get up in the morning, pray. Before you go to sleep at night, pray. As you go through your day, pray. Changes all kind of things. I believe that. Prayer saved my grandchild. When I looked at that car, the tears got in my eyes, and then I felt the hand of God say, I was with her, just like I was with you, just like I was with you. He was with me going over that embankment, landed on the side. It's just that my accident was just me. You know, come on now. Black ice. See it. Didn't until I was sliding in it and could do nothing about it. My baby looked both ways, did not see a car, and the next thing we knew, she was being hit by a truck. A truck. She was driving a little Honda Accord, hit by a truck, spinned. He hit another car. Driver's side, passenger side, turned, hit someone on the driver's side. The whole front end of her car is messed up. But God was with her. God was with her. The Lord Jesus held her in place. No bloody nose, no broken legs, no anything. It's a damaged car, which can be replaced. So I thank God this morning. Heavenly Father God, I thank you for protecting my baby. I thank you for keeping her safe from harm, keeping her safe from danger. Yes, God, we know she learned a valuable lesson about traffic safety. She learned a valuable lesson, but she got a ticket, Lord, but we're going to take her to court. She's going to court, God. But she did do what she was supposed to do, her due diligence. So, Father God, I'm lifting her up. I'm lifting up her parents. I'm lifting up her siblings, God. I'm lifting up all of my children and asking you, Lord God, to put a hedge of protection around them. Put a hedge of protection around my oldest son who drives the highways and byways every day, an hour and a half to work. And I ask you to keep him safe coming home this morning. And my other son, God, you know he drives the highways and the byways on his job. I ask you to keep him safe as he goes into these little towns wherever he has to go. I ask you to please watch over my daughter as she takes the train, as she rides in her car. Keep her protected as she goes through her schooling, God. Protect all of my family, God. But you know what each and every one needs, God. And as you protect them, I ask you to protect this audience and everyone in it, God. For you know what each and every one of them are in desire of and need, God. Lord, I lift up Mother Valerie and all of her family. Keep them all safe, each and every one. Special blessings over Mother Rita and Mother Bowie and over Sister Carolyn and over all of her family. Lord God, you know each and every one by name. And you know each and every one's situation. And Father God, as we are all lifting up the name of Jesus this morning, we know, Lord, that we trust you. We look up, we lift up, we give you honor, glory, and praise. And Father God, as we go through this word this morning, I ask you, Lord God, to please allow every word of our mouth and the meditation of our humble hearts that they be accepted in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength, and you, Lord God, are our redeemer. We lift up, hallelujah, Jesus' name. We lift this up in Jesus' name, asking you, Lord Jesus, pour your blood on all of us, from the crowns of our head to the soles of our feet. For you are our Savior, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. This morning, I have the Old Testament, and Mother Valerie, Minister Valerie as well, has Testament, Psalm, and Proverbs. And all I can say is, in 2 Samuel, David knows where to give it, who to give it to, and he gives it to God. But as we go through first, let's get through some other stuff David's going through. Because Saul did some stuff that was against God. Saul did some stuff that caused them to be cursed. He brought a curse on Israel. He brought a curse on the kingdom. And the thing is that the curse he brought is from a covenant made probably a good 1,000 years before him. Or a few hundred years, we're going to say a few hundred years before him. When Joshua made a covenant with the Gibeonites, and Joshua told them that he would not, and we're going back to real quick to Joshua chapter 9, and I'll be coming out of King James. Because this is a back of what we're dealing with here. Joshua chapter 9, and we're going to go to verse 16. And it says this, and it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. Now remember, this is the group of the Gibeonites, other ones, that were smart enough to dress up in old clothes, have moldy bread, try to make them an old rotten wineskin and water, you know, to make it look like they had traveled a long, long way. But actually, they were all from Gibeon. And so they and Joshua didn't inquire of the Lord before he made this covenant with them that he would protect them. And this is what it said if we go back up to make sure we get everything in context. It says in verse 14, and the men took of their vittles and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swore unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days that they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came into their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Kephariah, and Beeroth, and Kirjath-jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest with wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swore unto them. And I got to read that verse 20 one more time. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swore unto them. And the princes said unto them, let them live, but let them be hewers and wood drawers of water unto all the congregation as the princes had promised. And so they were protected by Israel, by the promise that they made to God. And it says in chapter 21 of 2 Samuel, now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house, because he killed the Gibeonites. So the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. The children of Israel had sworn protection to them, but Saul had sought to kill them in his zeal for the children of Israel and Judah. Therefore David said to the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? And with what shall I make atonement that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said to him, we will have no silver or gold from Saul or from his house, nor shall you kill any man in Israel for us. So he said, whatever you say, I will do for you. Then they answered the king. The man who has consumed us and plotted against us that we should be destroyed from our remaining in any of the territories of Israel. Let seven men of his descendants be delivered to us, and we will hang them before the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord chose. And the king said, I will give them. Spare Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. So the king took Armani and Mephibosheth, the two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, whom she bore to Saul, and the five sons of Michael or Michal, the daughter of Saul. Because remember, we back in the day when she was telling David that he was so undignified pretty much, and that, you know, the maids were looking, and he told her, I'll be more undignified than this, and God closed her womb. These are her children that are about to die. These are the children she had with Patel. Remember, he followed after whining and crying until they basically almost practically threw rocks at him and made him leave. But these are her children because, again, she messed around and touched the anointed of God with her mouth. And now she is going to pay for it with her children. And he says, the five sons of Michael, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up from Adriel, the son of Perzali, the Methanite, and he delivered them unto the hands of the Gibeonites. Excuse me. And they hanged them on the hill before the Lord. So they fell all seven together and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. Now Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for herself on the rock from the beginning of harvest until the late rains poured on them from heaven. And she did not allow the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. And David was told what Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. Then David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from the men of Jabesh Gilead, who had stolen them from the street of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hung them up, after the Philistines had struck down Saul at Gibeah. So he brought up the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from there, and they gathered the bones of those who had been hanged. They buried the bones of Saul and Jonathan, his son, in the country of Benjamin in Zelah, in the tomb of Kish, his father. So they performed all that the king commanded. After that, God heeded the prayer of the land. When the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David and his servants with him went down and fought against the Philistines, and David grew faint. Then Ishbi, the Nob, who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought he could kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zerah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, you shall go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. Now it happened there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sabbatai, the Hishite, killed Sapha, who was one of the sons of the giant. Again, there was war at Gob with the Philistines, where Elihan, the son of Jerah, Argim, the Bethlehemite, killed the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Yet again, there was war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature who had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giants. So when he defiled Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, killed him. These four were born to the giants in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Giants, you know, folks try to cover up history, but the history is that there were giants in the land. And, you know, and they say the sons and the descendants of the Nephilim. We don't know. But the bottom line is the word of God tells us that there were giants. And, you know, historians don't want to try to back up the word of God, but they're starting to find skulls of giants in certain parts of this world. So we know that they existed. We know that they died. We know that God does not lie in his word, that there were and are and have been. I don't know if there are, but there have been giants, you know, and we have to just come to the realization that God created all kind of things. You know, I always like to say the duck-billed platypus, you know, God created all kind of stuff. But we got to realize that we are all God's creation, and we need to understand and recognize that God is omnipotent, and that whatever God does it for a purpose and for a reason. And it says in 2 Samuel 21:1, it is because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house, because he killed the Gibeonites. Saul and his mistaken zeal have violated a covenant made in God's name, and Israel paid for it. We reap what we sow more than we sow and later than we sow. And that's a word of God. We reap what we sow. Saul sowed a whole lot of discontent. Saul sowed revenge. Saul sowed all kind of hatefulness just because Saul did not do what he was told to do, when obedience is better than sacrifice. So his house paid for it. The sins of the father were visited upon the children for several generations. We have got to lift up to believe that God is working everything out. And I hate that these people died. These folks that didn't have anything to do with Saul's sin, but because they were his descendants, they lost their life. And as we continue in our word today in chapter 22 of 2 Samuel, this is a prayer. And, you know, this could be in the psalm. You know, and it may be in the psalm. I don't believe it is, but it could be a psalm. David was so, he loved God. He might have been a hot mess when he was younger, but he loved God, and he loved his children. Even though you may have thought, well, he discarded his daughter and allowed her to be raped by his other son, and then he mourned the son who tried to take his kingdom and tried to take his life, and, you know, but he was a father first, and he loved his children. And we got to remember that he loved his children, but he loved God more than anything. And as he lifts up his prayer, we've got to take this into our own hearts, because this is a prayer that some of us need to be praying ourselves, because we all go through. We all go through whatever you're going through may be, whether it's your health, whether it's your finances, whether it's your children, whether it's just your faith being tested, whatever it is you're going through, remember that the Lord God is always with you. And when David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, and from the hand of Saul, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. You'll hear these words in the Psalms. The God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, cried out to my God, my He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He vowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherubim and flew, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. He made the darkness canopies around him, dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. From the brightness before him, coals of fire were kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning bolts, and he quenched them, and he vanquished. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered. At the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness and according to the cleanliness of my hands. He has recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanliness in his eyes. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. With the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. You will save the humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty, that you may bring them down. And we're seeing God bring down a whole lot of haughty right now. All you have to do is open the paper, and you're seeing somebody being brought low. Don't think you're better than God, and don't worship people, because God will bring that person down every time. We have got to understand people are people. They make mistakes. They sin, but there is only one God who is omnipotent, present, who is absolute. He is God, and we cannot put anybody in his place. He has spoken it from his mouth, written it by his hands. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not worship him. Thou shalt not make graven images. He has told us, for I am the Lord thy God, and I am a jealous God. And as for David, he says in verse 29 of 2 Samuel chapter 22, for you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness, for by you I can run against the truth. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. Come on now. He is a shield to all who trust in him. And I got to say it again. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is to all who trust in him. Are you trusting God today? Are you believing that he can make a way out of no way? I got my hand in the air. Yes, I do. I trust you, Lord. I believe in you, God. And I know that you can make a way out of no way. Hallelujah. I trust you. But who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high place. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. And I have destroyed them and wounded them so that they could not rise. They are under my feet, but you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroy those who hated me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth. I draw them like dirt in the streets, and I spread them out. You have also delivered me from the striving of my people. You have kept me as the head of the nations. I, a people have not known, shall serve me. A people I have not known shall serve me. Foreigners submit to me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. The foreigners fade away and come, frighten their hideouts. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Hallelujah. I got to read that again. The Lord lives. Be my rock. Let God be exalted. The rock of my salvation. It's God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. He is the tower of salvation to his kingdom and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants. It's a word, mother. That's a word. Amen. God, y'all better get out of my way so I can run. I'm going to tell you, that just does something to my spirit. Because it says in our life lesson, thank you, Dr. Stanley, may God continue to rest your humble soul. And it tells us in this word in chapter 22, verse 18, he delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. Our enemies are often too strong for us, but they are never too strong for the Lord. As Isaiah 54:17 promises, no weapon, can you say it with me, formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And we got to go to that verse really quick. And I know Mother Valerie is ready to go forth. But this word, is, you know, I love this word. And so I am going to Isaiah chapter 54, which is a word that I would tell everybody, just take some time and read the entire chapter. Because Isaiah 54 is a blessing. It's a blessing through the servant. It is just, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. That's a highlightable, we like to call it. And I just got to say it one more time. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue, remember those, that little thing behind your teeth that can cut like a sword, that is, can burn up some places, can set some things on fire, that shall rise against in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. A weapon formed against God's children shall prosper. And those wagging tongues, God's going to take care of them too. But we are his sons and daughters. We are his servants. We belong to him. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 28. You shall save the humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty, that you may bring them down. Throughout scripture, God tells us that he will save the humble, but oppose the proud. Come on now. And that's in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. Again, another scripture. All of Proverbs chapter 3, you should read. James chapter 4, verse 6. Again, one of those chapters that you need to read the whole thing. In 1 Peter 5 and 5, all of chapter 5. All three of these words, Proverbs chapter 3, James chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 5, should be all read in their entirety. And it says the proud try to put themselves in God's place, and that he will never allow. So understand why you're seeing stuff going on. Folks trying to put themselves in the place of God. And as they say, God don't play that. Mother Valerie, I'm turning it over to you. This has been a great word, and may the Lord add a blessing to the hearers and the readers of this mighty, mighty word of God. Thank you so much, family, for listening with me this morning. I turn you over to my co-host, Mother Valerie, and she's also got a powerful word this morning. Whew, it's all I can say, Mother. My heart is just beating. God is on his throne, and he is in charge of everything. I turn it over to you.
You know, good morning, thank you, God. People of God. Good morning, good morning. And Pastor was reading, I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them, for you have armed me. God arms me with strength for the battle.
Mm.
And that's the only way you can pursue your enemies, is that God arms you with strength for the battle. He said, you have subdued under me those who rose against me. But I really love, you have armed me with strength for the battle. And then she was reading, God rides on the wings of the wind. He do. I mean, we can't see God, but he's riding on the wings of the wind. And he armed David with strength for the battle. I'm reading Psalms 68, 1 and 6. Let God arise. He said, let his enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wet wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. And you know, that's a statement that the wicked will perish at just at God's presence. Whoa. Then let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. But the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to the Lord. Sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. And see, that's just what I was saying. God rides on the wings of the wind. He rides on the clouds by his name Yahweh. And rejoice before him, a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows. He is God in his holy habitation. God sits in his holy habitation. Isn't that amazing? God sits in his holy habitation. God sets the solidary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Let God arise. Woo! Let all of his enemies. And you know, that's crazy when you think about it. It's real crazy to be an enemy of God. I mean, it don't make sense. You are enemy of the Most High God. God laughs. He sits on his throne and he laughs at his enemies.
Come on.
He knows they can't really do anything. I mean, God made the people. He just laughs at his enemies. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Man, I wouldn't want to be an enemy of God. I really, you know, an enemy of the Most High God? All we got to do is whisper a word and you're gone. Proverbs 17:2-4. A wise servant will rule over a son who calls shame and will share an inheritance among the brothers. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. Evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. Isn't that amazing? Let God rise and his enemies be scattered. Life lesson, Psalm 68:6. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. God designed the church to be our greatest family. Jesus said, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters, fathers, mother, wife or children, lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold. Matthew 19:29. Though we shouldn't forsake our own family, we can always find comfort and support in the church. A lot of times some people don't even have a family except the church. And they say we should find comfort and support in the church. And that's a true statement. John 8:28-59. Then Jesus said to him, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I'm he. I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. A lot of times, people don't want to know the truth. They'd rather believe a lie and be damned. Sometimes people can't really face the truth. It said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendant, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my Father. You do what you have seen with your Father. He's telling them they do what they do because of the devil. But he do what he do because of God. They answered said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. And so he's constantly telling them that you're doing the deeds of the devil. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. Jesus said to them, God was your Father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God, nor have I came of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and he don't say it. It's 3 different times. And he's making it clear. When you say something once, twice, and 3 different times, you're making it clear. He told them that they are of the devil. Desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. There is no truth in the devil. And the thing about it, the devil's on his job. The sneaky snake, as Pastor says. The devil is out there doing what he's supposed to do. and we should be doing what we're supposed to do. The devil is on his job 24/7. I don't even think the devil sleeps. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy people. And I thank and praise God that there was an angel on Pastor's granddaughter that she didn't get destroyed, because the devil is out there doing his job, trying to kill people, steal people, take them away before their time, and then he's raising. If you look at what's going on in the world, there's so much evil out there. But God told us, don't fear the evil. Be of good cheer. I mean, it's out there. Be of good cheer. But you know what it reminds me of? It's the signs of the end time. We are living witnesses. We are living in the last days. I just believe it in my heart that soon and very soon we're going to be called up to meet him. We're going to have new bodies. All the aches and pains and things that these bodies go through, we're going to have new bodies. We're going to be called up to meet the Lord in midair. Those that are dead will be called up first, and those that remain will be called up to meet him. There's too much going on in the world. And he have told us, don't be afraid. He told them, you are of your father, the devil. Desires of your father is the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. Does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resource, for he's a liar, father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you're not of God. Then the Jews answered and said to him, do we say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? And Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my words, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who's dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you've not known him, but I know him. And if I say, I do not know him, I shall be a liar, like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And that's the truth, because he says, I am. They didn't look at it in the spiritual sense because they couldn't understand what he was saying. They were of their father, the devil, and he told them that three different times. And they hated him for that. They hated him. Then they took up stones to throw at him. They wanted to kill him. But Jesus hid himself, went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And that's sad. That's sad because they were of their father, the devil. Life lessons, John 8:58. Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. This may be the clearest claim Jesus ever made to be God in the flesh. And he is God. And people can't understand that. They say, well, how can Jesus be God and he's the Son? And they go on and on and on because they can't see it spiritually. It said, this may be the clearest claim Jesus ever made to be God. He's God in the flesh. He called himself by the divine name, I am. I am that I am. I am. and said that he exists long before Abraham lived. And a lot of times if you tell people, they say, oh, them people are Jesus only. If you tell people that Jesus is God, oh, you got to be crazy. Jesus was just a good prophet. Jesus is not God. God is God. I mean, something's wrong with your mind when you sit up there and say that Jesus is God. But he's God in the flesh. He said, when you have seen me, Peter, how long have I have to be with you? When you've seen me, you have seen the Father. But they couldn't understand that. They couldn't understand that he was God. Jesus is everything. He's really everything. He is everything. And when you read this, it says that's the first time that he told them, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. I am that I am. And that was one of his names back in the Old Testament. I am. I'm Jehovah. I'm everything. And I can be everything to you if you would allow that. I mean, he was telling them. But like he said, you're not listening. And they took up stones and they wanted to stone him. But, you know, people want to kill you. I don't know if it's like that today. People want to kill you for the things that come out of your mouth or the words that you speak. Well, I don't think it's not so bad today. People don't try to kill you for what you say. But back in the day, they wanted to kill you for saying the things that Jesus said. Life lesson, John 8:31-32. Jesus had quite an audience that day. The crowds had just witnessed an intense scene when the scribes and Pharisees brought to Jesus the woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. This lady had been caught in the act of adultery. Then they saw Jesus liberating love and action as he looked at her and said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. This woman walked away forgiven, free, and saved from certain doom. A little later, Jesus proclaimed, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. Truth will make you free. Consider these verses. The believer, consider these verses. The believer emancipated proclamation explains more of what he means. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Slave does not abide in the house forever. Son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. On the surface, this sounds very simple, and in a foundation sense it is. But one thing to believe that Jesus can set you free from patterns of sin, it's quite another to experience that freedom in your own life. The thing about it, all we have to do is believe what he says, who he is. We have to believe and repent. Now, if we can do that, you can be free. You don't have to keep on doing the same old, same old, same old, same old things. You don't have to continue to do the same sins over and over and over again. It's just like drinking. I can't stop drinking. I can't stop drinking. I can't stop fornicating. I can't stop doing this and I can't stop doing that. You really can. If you believe and ask the Lord to help you and you really want to stop, you can. It's nothing too hard for God to do. If you believe in him and really have faith and ask him to help you, he can deliver anybody. I mean, like Moses, he can use anybody. He can deliver anybody. All you got to do is turn to him and say one thing, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Help me. Our strength comes from the Lord. And he can help you to be strong, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can. You can. We can. We can. We can do everything and all things. And we can put the devil behind of us. Most of us have difficulty in the action stage of belief, the vital link between knowing by intellect and knowing by experience. You're saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ. But that does not mean that you leap immediately into a full understanding of your faith. Your personal response to Jesus' commands determine whether you will be able to live in the joys of that salvation with the freedom of learning to say no to daily sins. A man in prison can receive a signed pardon, and the warden can unlock the jail door. Man has to put one foot in front of the other, walk outside those prison walls. What can you do to begin living in the freedom of Christ purchased for you on the cross? There is no formula for discovering the richness of his truth, but by obeying Christ, you will be on the road to the fresh, liberated life he designed for you. Always when you obey God, you can count on watching him reveal exciting new things. Remember, the key to crossing the bridge between belief and experience is obedience. You must take the step of faith and do what he says. Oh, my goodness, obedience is better than sacrifice. Always do what God says to do. Always do what he says to do. And if you do that, you will be forgiven. It's just like the woman. He said, whoever is without sin, cast the first stone. And they said from the oldest person to the youngest person, threw the stone down and they walked away. Who is without sin? None of us are perfect. Not one of us. The only perfect person that we know of is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's the only perfect person. Nobody. Nobody. Nobody's perfect but the Lord. So don't be looking at what other people do. Look at what you do. I mean, a lot of times you be condemning other people. You got to watch talking about other people because you are doing something good. Watch what you say about other people. Keep, like Pastor was saying, keep your tongue, keep your mouth shut. A lot of times you
know your tongue behind the teeth. Amen.
Why people are doing the things that they're doing, or why they're drinking, why they're fornicating, why, you know, it's a reason for everything, and you don't know their reason, but God knows, and God knows your reason. So be careful, folks. Be careful how you condemn people. Because the tongue is a mighty little thing. And it's just a small little thing. But it can do so much damage. It can bring happiness, peace, and joy. And it can destroy. So just be careful. Be careful out there. I'm going to turn this back over to the pastor.
Amen.
Indeed.
Praise God. And I'm going to give us a word from our sister in Christ again. I never know what Sister Carol, I try not to look at her words before I do what God has called me to do. And I listen to the voice of God. And the word that she gave this morning is on point. Good morning. What looks like a setback going on in Israel is oftentimes a setup for you to come up trusting God, have a triumphant Thursday. And our word for this morning, as God gave it to me, as he told her to trust him, he told us to trust him. The word of the Lord is proven. Seals to all who trust in him. And that is our word for this morning. And as Mother Valerie read, I believe, this morning from John 8:58, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am, is what Jesus told him. Maybe it's the clearest claim Jesus ever made to be God in the flesh. He called himself divine name and said that he exists long before Abraham lived. What happened? We trust God. He's always been with us, and he will be with us through eternity. Keep trusting God, for the Lord is. He is a shield to all who trust in him. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Whew, for this is the day that the Lord has made, Mother Valerie, and we are rejoicing and glad in it. Have a great day, family. It is a wrap.
Pastor, what does rap mean?
Well, willing, ready, available, presently praying for all of you.
And I think my sister Rita gave that to you.
Absolutely.
It's a wrap, people.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Have a blessed day, family. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.